As you listen to it now, I want you to listen to the content, but also listen for the pattern. Let's hear God's word to us this morning in Psalm 107.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south.
Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died.
Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live.
Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That is why he broke them with hard labor. They fell, and no one was there to help them.
Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains.
Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze. He cut apart their bars of iron.
Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. They couldn't stand the thought of food, and they were knocking on death's door.
Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death.
Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts.
Some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke, and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end.
Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor.
Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation.
He changes rivers into deserts and springs of water into dry, thirsty land. He turns the fruitful land into a salty wasteland because of the wickedness of those who live there. But he also turns deserts into pools of water, the dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities. They sow their fields, plant their vineyards, and harvest their bumper crops. How he blesses them! They raise large families there, and their herds of livestock increase. When they decrease in number and become impoverished through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt on their princes, causing them to wander in trackless wastelands. But he rescues the poor from trouble and increases their families like flocks of sheep. The godly will see these things and be glad, while the wicked are struck silent. Those who are wise will take all this to heart They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you all. So over the last weeks, like perhaps many of you, I've received a whole bunch of different invitations, several different graduation parties, a baby shower. Generally, when we do this, we receive a thoughtful, often artistic invitation that comes with a request for an RSVP. And then on the day of the event, people gather, family and friends, with one another. And what do? We celebrate, and we eat, and we laugh, and we tell stories. And whether explicitly or just implicitly, we give thanks to God. Well, this psalm begins, in a sense, with an invitation being sent to us and an opportunity for us to respond. It's an invitation to gather and to join in. Verses 1 and 2 invite us to join the celebration and the thanksgiving. Don't be shy. Don't make excuses. Come, join the party, the psalmist seems to say. Look at verse 1 with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. So who's invited to the Thanksgiving celebration? The redeemed. The party is for the people who have been delivered from danger and then brought back from slavery. In the original context, this may well have referred to those Israelites who had once been held captive in the land of Babylon, but had been restored to their homeland. That experience really defined them. It gave them their self-understanding as the redeemed. That was the label that they took. This is who we are. We are God's redeemed. Well, in our context, for those of us who now live on the other side of Christmas and of Good Friday and of Easter, the redeemed are those who have been a part of a great exchange. Those who have been on the receiving end of God in Christ taking upon himself our sin and death, and then in return, giving us his righteousness and new life and giving us his Spirit. So if you are in Christ and can rightly claim that label Christian, you are the redeemed. This invitation is addressed to you. And what are the redeemed, the recipients, to do? Well, two things. The redeemed are to tell God thanks, give thanks to the Lord, and the redeemed of the Lord are to tell their story, to tell others what God has done. And in the middle of this twofold invitation comes the reason for it all. God is good, and God's love endures forever. God is good, and God's love endures forever. Repeat after me, God is good, and God's love endures forever. Oh, that didn't work so well. Can I get the yellow card? Okay. One more time. Repeat after me. God is good.
God is good.
God's love endures forever.
God's love endures forever.
I will not be leading chants at CenturyLink, just so you know. Okay. But that's the bedrock. That's the foundation. That is the fundamental reason why we, the redeemed, get to give thanks. And then Psalm 107 also shows us this threefold pattern, a three-part prayer for us to follow that I hope you caught as it was read to us. Did you notice it? And did you notice how it was repeated four times in four different groups of people? And then we are actually called upon to notice that pattern. The psalm ends with these words in verse 43, "Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord." In other words, there is a regular pattern to human experience that the wise will discern. And we're to carefully consider the Lord's steadfast and faithful love in the midst of our lives, and that pattern as it unfolds. So here's how that three-part pattern, the threefold prayer, starts, and where we begin to follow this voice in prayer. It's when we remember our distress. When we remember our distress. In the voices of Psalm 107, we hear these four different groups of people who are in distress. Some wandered in the wilderness, verse 4. They got lost. They got so thirsty and hungry that they almost died. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, verse 10. They were imprisoned. They were chained up. They were forced into labor. Some were fools and they rebelled, verse 17. They were sick in their bodies because of their very own sinful acts. It brought them to the brink of death. And then some went off to sea in ships, verse 23. They were doing business. They're trying to conquer the world. And then some storms started to rage that practically sunk them. And I want you to notice two things about all this. First, and quite straightforwardly, it is actually okay for us to remember our distress. We often don't want to do it. We don't want to go back there. We want to leave those things in the past. We often don't want to acknowledge and admit this stuff happened because remembering our distress requires humility. It requires humility to admit that we wandered and we didn't know where we were. It requires some humility to confess that we had rebelled against God. Remembering requires humility because we've got to acknowledge that we've been overwhelmed by the storms of life. And the experiences of these four groups in the psalm are really not that distant from our experiences in many ways. Because I know that some of us in this room have felt lost in the wilderness. We've been in a place where we felt desperate and we didn't know where to go. Some of us have experienced some pretty deep darkness. We felt trapped and imprisoned by life circumstances or perhaps by a relationship that nothing but hard labor seemed to be our reality. Some of us have suffered for our sins, at least emotionally and spiritually, if not physically. The power of death has had its way over us. And some of us got so focused on our work, on business, on making a buck, and then an economic storm hit and tossed us about, and we were reeling and staggering. It's okay to remember our distress. But second, I also want us to notice the causes of distress will vary. For those desert sojourners in the psalm, no explanation is given why they're there. For the deserted prisoners and those sick to the point of death, it's actually the Lord's punishment for their sin. For the sailors, the Lord causes the distress, but we don't know why. But what about for us? Why do we experience the distress that we do? Well, four things. Sometimes we're on the receiving end of some needed discipline. This is the case for those in the psalm who are in darkness and gloom. They had disobeyed God's command. They'd gone their own rebellious way instead. So if right now things aren't working out for you as you'd hoped and as you'd planned, it may be that God is correcting your course. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 tells us, "My child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Only irresponsible parents leave their children to fend for themselves without instruction and guidance. And the Bible says that God disciplines us for our good so that we may share in his holiness. God doesn't spoil us, but seeks to train us for right living. It is not pleasant in the middle of the experience, but sometimes our distress could actually be God's discipline for our own good. But second, sometimes our distress in life is from trials and tests. Unlike times of discipline, which are direct from God, tests and trials we experience can be something that God simply allows for our own good. James chapter 1 says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Like a muscle, faith must be exercised regularly to grow and be strong. But when you consider that we don't start from a neutral, a healthy position, but from being spiritually broken and unhealthy, the appropriate metaphor is not so much going to the gym to exercise our faith, so much as it is going to see the physical therapist who runs us through exercises to strengthen and to get us healthy. So we should not assume that any time we're suffering, that it's not from God, and that all suffering must be avoided. In fact, the Apostle Peter wrote, "If you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right, and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you." So sometimes our distress comes from discipline or trials and tests. Sometimes distress in life comes from temptations we face. Corinthians tells us, "You are tempted in the same way that everyone else is tempted. But God can be trusted to not let you be tempted too much, and he will show you how to escape from your temptations. Be sure to catch this, because unlike the other reasons for distress, these circumstances tend to come from us alone, not from God directly. Again, back to James, he tells us that, remember, that no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else either. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. Those evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. And we live in a world where we are constantly surrounded by appeals to kick God out and to put ourselves first, to satisfy every desire, every whim, no matter how debased or destructive. But then finally, sometimes our distress in life is just the result of natural consequences. Sometimes it's just life happening. It can be negative. Our health gradually fades as we age. It can be positive too. We gain wisdom with age and experience. But sometimes too, God allows us to experience, again, the natural consequences of our own decisions and actions. Paul writes in Galatians, you will harvest what you plant. If you follow your selfish desires, you will harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. So as you remember your distress, please know this, that all that we encounter is either allowed or allotted by God. God is aware of and involved in all things. God is either actively bringing things to pass, or God is allowing them and then using our circumstances for our good. One of my favorite writers in the spiritual life that I find myself quoting often is Henry Nouwen. In one of his books, Bread for the Journey, he writes this paragraph, "To be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy. But to be grateful for all our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, that requires hard spiritual work. Still, we are only truly grateful people when we can say thank you to all that has brought us to the present moment. As long as we keep dividing our lives between events and people we should like to remember and those we would rather forget, we cannot claim the fullness of our being as a gift of God to be grateful for. Let's not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see in it the guiding hand of a loving God," he writes. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you need to remember? Where have you experienced distress in your life? Maybe recent, or maybe a little bit in the past. Perhaps in your own life, perhaps in your family. But I want you to think about something for a moment. And in your bulletin, again, there was that blank page for notes with the message. If you wouldn't mind, would you take a pen or pencil? And I would encourage you to just write something down. Maybe a sentence, maybe just a word to remind you. Have you felt a distress analogous to what's in the psalm? A time when you felt like you were wandering lost. When you felt like you were held captive. You were suffering illness, or someone you know was and love was. Were you facing danger? Jot something down. As you do that, know too that Psalm 107 teaches us to first remember our distress in prayer, but then, second, to recount our deliverance. Verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. That refrain is repeated with each group. You'll see it if you've got your Bible open there in verse 13, and then in verse 19, and verse 28, over and over again, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. We hear that God snatched them away from danger. God rescued them. God recovered them. God saved them and liberated them. And though their situations are radically different, the solution is the same. They cry out to the Lord in their time of trouble, and in each case, God delivers. He provides what they needed. And the response of God for us will be exactly what we need when we cry out in distress too. The Psalms portray the Lord God neither as one who promises only blessings, nor as one who is entirely predictable. God is not a cosmic blessing machine, and God does not promise a life free of pain and hardship. But here is a truth you can take to the bank. Life is hard, but God is good. Life is hard, but God is good. And when God acts, when God delivers us from our distress, we need to share that story with one another. The redeemed of the Lord are to tell God thanks and to tell their story to others. One of the things that is always a joy for me is when we have an opportunity to engage with folks like we ordained and installed this morning, or whenever we receive new members to be a part of our church, one of the things we do is we ask them to tell their story. Tell us how it is that you came to a place of knowing and accepting and following Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Where has God been at work in your life in the past? What is God doing in your life today? What does it mean to you that Jesus really is Savior and Lord in this present moment? And I love hearing those stories. I want to encourage us to tell our stories because they give us hope. So when you've been in distress, how did you see or experience deliverance? If you wrote something down a moment ago, look at that. And maybe write with it some words or phrases that capture how God responded to your cry. But also I want to know, who are you going to tell about that? Those of us who are parents with kids still in our homes, we need to tell our children the stories of how God has been faithful to us and our families. Those of you who are grandparents, please tell your grandchildren the stories of God's faithfulness to your family through the generations so that they know that. If you are in a small group, this week, as you gather together and you reflect on this psalm, you're going to have a great opportunity to share with each other stories of God's faithful deliverance. And then after we cry out to God for deliverance from our distress, we've got to respond. And here again, the psalm is a helpful guide for us as we move to our final thing, which is simply to respond with our devotion. For each of the four groups that you heard, and for us this morning, the command is the same. Verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. The experiences of each group are different. The experience of each of us is different. Yet we're all commanded to praise the Lord for his great love. Our experiences are going to be varied, but our challenge is the same. Because of his great devotion, we're to show great devotion to God. So again, one last time, you might want to take that sheet of paper and simply complete this sentence. God, I thank you for. God, I thank you for. And write out what he has done for you. Express your devotion to God in a written prayer. Because here is our prayer, our pattern for prayer of thanksgiving. That we remember our distress, we recount our deliverance, and third, we respond with our devotion. What are we going to do now going forward? Well, again, as we wrap up, those last two verses give us two options. Verse 42, the upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise see, heed these things, and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Notice the wicked are struck silent, the godly are glad. May we be godly and glad. May we remember what God has done for us and the wonderful deeds he's done on our behalf in the past, and may his steadfast love give us hope for the future. May we, with the psalmist, cry out, oh, thank God. Thank God. He is good. His faithful love endures forever. As the band comes up, let's pray together. Lord, we truly do have so much to be thankful for. I pray that today that would not be just an abstraction, but that you would remind us, call to our minds events of our own past, in our story and that of our household and even that of our church where we have been in distress. Remind us how we cried out to you, and let us not forget what you have done for us. As we do so, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be stirred, that we would be filled with joy and rejoicing, and that we would give you thanks. With the psalmist, may we also say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the one to whom we cried out in our distress. Blessed be the name of the one who delivered us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is our prayer. May it also now be our song as well.